9, verses 1 to 41. We love John and all he has to tell us. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But the man himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed. And then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisee the man who had been blind. Now the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud in my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," they answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." But the man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. They threw him out of the temple. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with them heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The word of God for the people. people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our sermon is titled, Was Blind But Now I See. Was Blind But Now I See. Let us pray. Father, Almighty God, I am humbled in your presence. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Amen. So today a blind man journeys from physical blindness to spiritual sight. A common person in the street, a beggar, comes to the light and is given new life. Even as he is driven from the temple by the Pharisees, he's accepted by Jesus and he joins his disciples. The Jewish authorities had physical sight, but it turned out they also had spiritual blindness and wound up placing themselves under judgment as sinners. The Jewish authorities insist on their right to judge both the treated man and Jesus as sinners. And when the healed man confessed his faith in Jesus, he acknowledges Jesus as the final judge who overrules the judgment made by the authorities. The Pharisees have physical sight. The sight they lack is the ability to see God. See God revealed in Jesus. And their refusal to acknowledge this blindness on their part proves that they are sinners. Why? Because in John's gospel, sin is defined not as what one does, but by one's relationship to Jesus. And more importantly, by whether one believes that God is present in Jesus. Jesus takes away the sin of the world by coming into the world. He gives the world access to the light and love of God, and takes away the world's sin because he makes it possible for the world to have a new relationship with God. Jesus brings a new covenant with God, a new relationship. The Pharisees turn down Jesus' offer of salvation and so bring themselves under judgment. The story of the blind man and Jesus and a group of Pharisee leaders, it's a classic illustration of that old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. We could see a lot of forest around here now, can't we? I think a lot of trees have been moved out of the way. The knowledge and attitudes of the Pharisees did not allow them to receive some very good news from Jesus. Their refusal to accept this grace from Jesus and their own self-righteousness caused an increase in their desire to get Jesus. The Pharisees, the religious leaders in Jesus' time, were all about getting Jesus. And they got him. So they were all about thwarting his ministry, which was a threat to their ministry. Their focus on themselves would not let them see the power of God at work in what Jesus did and said. And he did a miraculous healing. The Pharisees, in their ignorance, said that the blind man had only been pretending to be blind all along. And when they could not get the cured blind man to admit this, they got into an argument with him and said he was not fit to even go into the house of God. The poor guy got bounced from the church. Isn't that something? They were so full they could afford to kick one out. The Pharisees would consider him to be a sinner even if they thought he had been born blind, because the Pharisees believed illness and disability were God's punishment for sin. Good Lord, we are a bunch of sinners here today, aren't we? Illness and disability were God's punishment for sin. The question to them was not whether sin had occurred, but whose sin had caused the man's blindness. Since he was blind before he was old enough to be held accountable, the Pharisees blamed the blindness on the sins of his parents. So the moral of the story is, if you choose to spend all your time looking to find sin in others, you're going to find it. Amen? Amen. It's like gardening. The more you dig, the more likely something will pop up, right? sounds like today's political climate. The more you dig, something will pop up. And if you don't find anything, make something up, right? The trouble with the Pharisee leaders in this story is they were so caught up in their ability to see truth, they were so sure of their own opinions, they couldn't see the truth even when it hit them right in the face. They were so wrapped up in their own holiness that they couldn't see God at work. The people who are certain of their own insights, certain of their own vision, are like that. They're actually blind. They can't see the forest for the trees. But we are in that time now, Lent, we're in Lent, and this is a time we should be examining our own lives and repenting of our own sins. If only the Pharisees had done that, we'd have a different story. We're not called to point out the speck in our brother's or sister's eye. We are called to see the log in our own eye. It calls us to become aware of our own blindness. It's for our own good. In our baptismal covenant, the church asks us to repent of our sin. Not the sin in which others find themselves, but the sinful ways that we find ourselves in. We always must have repentance in mind. And we must accept Christ and the power he gives us so we can resist evil, injustice, and oppression. He needs us for his work today. God doesn't want to work by himself. He could. No, he doesn't want a bunch of automatons running around down here. He needs us and our ability to make decisions to help in his work today. That's how he set everything up to begin with. He caused all this to happen, and he is still working on it. I heard a preacher say this once. It cracked me up. In the morning after breakfast, God goes out to his garage and tinkers with creation. I think I know where God's garage is. What I hear around here, it's the back of Sam's house. He's not here today, so make sure you tell him, okay? He works on us, and he uses us. He keeps giving us stuff to do, and we all have a role in what he's doing. As we approach Easter, we need to spend some time taking a good, hard look in the mirror. And what do we see? What do we see? Do we see a saint? Do we see a sinner? Do we see well at all? Or do we need to admit that we're at least somewhat blind? And we all have that little bit of blindness that hangs in us. And we need Christ's healing to release us so we can begin to see and follow in the right way more clearly. Are we blinded to seeing signs of God's work right here in our midst? Are we so righteous that we look with judgment on our neighbors? What do we need to confess and repent in order to get right with God? It's the time to be thinking about all this. We're in Lent. We must humbly acknowledge ourselves as being far from perfect and much in need of God's cleansing grace. God cleans us up. Without grace, we waste our lives blindly pointing our fingers at all of those around us whom we have judged, rather than spending our time working out our own salvation. Sounds like Pharisees, doesn't it? When our interpretation of our religion, our faith, causes us to do and say the opposite of what it guides us to do, something ain't right. We can repent and accept God's grace, but we must use it to continue resisting the power of sin. Just like the man in the story, we too have been born blind. It's only by being born again, by water and the Spirit, that we're able to see God and begin the journey toward a life of peace, mercy, reconciliation. Are we, like the Pharisees, also blind to what Christ is doing in the world? Are we blind to what is being done for Christ? If we don't recognize the miracles for what they are, we're not paying attention. Miracles happen every day. And just because they may not be dramatic acts of healing or saving, we can miss them. We can miss the 21st century Jesus working in our midst. Jesus keeps up with the times. Jesus works differently now. He adjusts to how we change. And he continues to lead us in the way he wants us to change. Miracles happen every day. You know, as I come in the church during Lent season and I see the boxes and the bags of food sitting in the baskets out there, see, God's little miracles. And these little miracles that you all contribute to accumulate. And after a while, we put them all together into another bunch of little miracles. That becomes the big miracle of God feeding people in this community. I could use some extra food. Not an earth-shaking miracle. Not a bright light miracle. But a miracle nonetheless. And we have these miracles all the time. We live in devastating times. War, drug abuse, faithlessness, missing children, storms. Things are not perfect despite our best efforts. Despite the best efforts of Christians in the expanse of our history, 2,000 years, things are not perfect. So God has designed each of us with a purpose. We are each unique to God, and we're all called to serve a hurting world. And we're also called to serve a loving God. Each one of us here today, your life has a purpose, whether you know it right now or not. No matter what's happened to you, all the good things, all the bad things, God has created you in a significant way to help others to do his work. We're all capable, no matter our condition, we're all capable of serving in a significant way. It may seem like a small way, but not to God. God doesn't want us doing unnecessary things. So whatever he's called you to do, it's necessary. Let us not be Pharisees who, while they served the law, they got in the way of themselves. I love that phrase. The pastor told it to me when I was studying. He said, "Mr. Smith, slow down. Don't get in the way of yourself. Don't cause your own problems." The Pharisees got in the way of themselves when it came to truly serving the Lord. They let the trees get in the way of the woods. They couldn't see their true purpose, accepting God in Christ. They couldn't do it. A blind beggar had better vision than they did. You have better vision than the Pharisees did. The story's about a healing. But it's so much more than that. It's about accepting and trusting the one who gives it. Amen. This special hymn that we're going to sing right now, we sang it recently. You heard it earlier today. We're going to sing it again because it has that beautiful little phrase in it.